Usually before an orchestra, you know how they always warm up there at the front part? I do believe whoever's blowing that trumpet has already warmed up. So this might be the year. And so 1 Thessalonians 5. Okay, it says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Okay, so the idea is before that is a 13 and following. The mystery that we are not to ignore of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. So he says in verse 5, of the times and seasons. Obviously, he doesn't say day or hour. But the idea is that we could look at some of the characteristics that the Bible gives of the time, and we can see that we're very, very close. And then he says in verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So the day of the Lord is the second coming. We just got to subtract a few short years of the tribulation to see that. And when they shall say peace and safety, that's the political statement, they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. So we should be watching. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, and let us watch and be sober. So the idea of being sober must be a problem prior to the second coming, with medication, drugs, booze, you know, and all that stuff. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Again, repeats the same idea. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet of the hope of salvation. So we got the hope. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Okay, so he's not appointed the church to wrath, because we're under the love of God, not the wrath of God. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Then if you go to Titus, just a few pages after, Titus chapter 2, okay, that wrath idea, John the Baptist mentioned the wrath to come, and that's, of course, what Revelation's about. It's showing the wrath of Jesus Christ, Revelation 6:16, the wrath of the Lamb, and it will be upon Israel directly, Titus 2, verse 11, for the church, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. So there we go. Third time, soberly. So that must going to be a problem prior to the, you know, second coming and these days where people are using chemicals to, in order to try to survive emotionally. Okay, so be sober, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. That's what we're looking for, the blessed hope. And the glorious appearing, not the coming, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Okay, what is the peculiarity is that we're zealous of good works. We're not just weirdos. Okay, the weirdo part is we're zealous of good works. And these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Okay, so this might be the year. This might be the year of the glorious Lord who received glory from his saints, and that we would be snatched away out of this present world from the wrath to come. Praying for that. And I want to give you some of the characteristics. So if you would, let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to be faithful to thee, and I pray you'd help us to understand the prophecies of the Bible and how your soon coming has to be close, and I just pray you'd help us to be ready for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the foretold characteristics in the Bible are manifesting themselves. But when I say that, a lot of times, you know, people through the church age, everybody was thought the Lord was coming back, you know, in their lifetime. But the day of today, you know, the wickedness of today is exponentially worse. It's not just worse. It is beyond imagination worse. I would have never dreamed, you know, 20 years ago to have to even consider the idea of transgenderism. I mean, who would have thought that? Even though it now that I've known about that, even though you could trace it back for a long time, it's been going on for years, it's just been secret. The wickedness is manifesting itself now. Okay, where in the past it's more been secretly hidden. And this is the agenda of the elite. And they take this clear back. The mystic Judaism takes this clear back to Adam and Eve, where they teach that Adam was a male-female at creation. Okay, and when they sinned, that separated the genders. So in their mind, being born again or being stepping up is to become male-female. They've been teaching this for years in Egyptian or in the Jewish mysticism. But still, the exponential of this is just amazing. And the sad thing, it's just amazing, but this is also prophesied in Scripture, that the churches will be infested with this. And the believer, we should love the Lord's appearing. And if we love that appearing, we will experience great joy and peace about our possible disappearing. It's going to solve all problems that the believer has, and it's just going to be the beginning for the world. Now, in the Bible, you'll have a lot of types. In the Old Testament, something will be kind of concealed, and then in the New Testament, it's revealed with more and more time. For example, in the Old Testament, you have two men who experienced a rapture, Enoch and Elijah, and then their family members were looking for them after they're gone. But Enoch was a guy that his dad was the second oldest man according to the history of the Bible, and then his son was the oldest man, okay, Methuselah. But yet, if you look at Methuselah's name, you have Methus and then Selah. That's Petra. So it's almost like in this you have something back then is a concealing a picture of something today being revealed, where it runs a twofold idea in there. And Lamech, his grandson, lived to be 777. He died 5 years before the flood. Methuselah died the year of the flood. In fact, his death was a sign that it's starting as far as the flood goes. Now, Enoch was translated 669 years before the flood. And it's funny how that number, 669, in numerology, that's often an angel's number for direction to peace and prosperity. And I would say Enoch did have a direction to peace and prosperity. And now a lot of people try to talk about the book of Enoch, this hidden book. And whenever I hear about people saying, well, there's other books in the Bible that should be studied or in the Bible, they can't even figure out the 66 we have, let alone all those hidden books. I mean, try to work on the 66 we have. Now, the book of Enoch, if there's such a thing, and maybe there was, Noah would have had to have it on the ark, you know, as far as that goes. But there is one sentence from that book that's in Scripture. And you can see that Enoch's favorite word was ungodly. If you ask Enoch about his days, he would say, it's ungodly. What do you think about this? It's ungodly. And you'll see it in that one sentence. And here he prophesied of the second coming way back then. And so a lot of things in the Old Testament is a truth concealed, portraying a truth in the New Testament that's revealed. For example, you have the sacrifice of a lamb by Abel. Truth concealed, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, truth revealed. In the old days, you have the events of Noah, and Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So truth concealed there is doctrine revealed in the New Testament. The sacrifice of Isaac. Truth, a beloved son sacrificed. Truth concealed. Truth revealed. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, sacrificed. The betrayal of Joseph by his brothers. Truth concealed. The betrayal of Jesus Christ by his Jewish brothers. Truth revealed. The Passover lamb. Paint the town red. The Passover lamb, when either Annas or Caiaphas, I'm not sure which one did it that year because there were two high priests, when he offered a Passover lamb in the Jewish temple, Christ was on Calvary at that moment. And then that temple rent in two, the veil rent in two, and I would dare say it exposed Caiaphas and Annas because they had Baphomet in the Holy of Holies. They didn't have the Ark of the Covenant. It was gone. So they had Baphomet there, the goat-headed horned, in there and exposed that whole thing. So it's a truth revealed. Job pictures a tribulation saint because it's truth concealed. Job was persecuted by Satan and he was in the land of Uz. And the Jews will be persecuted by Satan, and they're in the land of Uz or Petra. Jeremiah portrays the 144,000 because he was told not to get married, and then the 144,000 into tribulation. So Daniel is sealed, Revelation is revealed. And so we'll see this throughout the Bible. In many cases, David is a type of the Son of God, concealed. He's not the Son of God, but he's a type. And the Son of God in the New Testament revealed are born-again believers. So this you'll find this throughout the Bible. Now with Enoch, if you would try Hebrews 11, verse 5. Enoch portrays the rapture. Now the word rapture we know is not in the Bible as far as that word. But the Bible word is translation or first resurrection. So if somebody's going to be a stickler, then use the Bible definition. It's like the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the Bible word for Trinity is Godhead. And it's found three times. So in Hebrews 11, it has verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated. So we use a translation from one language to another. This is a translation from earth to heaven. That he should not see death and was not found. So family went looking for him. Because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. So that's the rapture concealed. And then the Lord revealed to the Apostle Paul a secret that he's held for 4,000 years. And that's the rapture revealed by Paul. But sadly, how many people are dumping the pre-tribulation rapture? And I don't argue with them about it. I just laugh and say, well, you're going to be pleasantly surprised. I mean, yeah, that's how it is. Why argue about it? If they want to stick around, let them stick around. But they're not going to stick around if they're saved. You know, there's a lot of times there's, you know, you get a discussion with somebody, you got to analyze and use wisdom with the discussion or, quote, argument. And you don't have to, you know, young guys got to fight about everything. And we older ones get tired of the fighting. So we just kind of, you know, okay. It's like the bulldog and skunk thing. The bulldog knows it can whip the skunk, but it's not worth the stink a lot of times. It's just not worth it. I mean, I was witness to somebody and I was coming to the point, you know, trying to draw the net to him. And some guys listened to the conversation. And he interrupted right at that time. And he's a professing Christian. I'm like, I wanted to say, you dingling, I'm trying to talk to this guy. And he asked the question, do you believe in speaking in tongues? Now, okay, I could have stopped the witness and went and talked to him. And I just said, of course I do. I don't talk with my ears. And then I went right back to the other fella. Because you got to use your tongue to talk. So, yeah, of course I believe in speaking in tongues. And so, and he just, he had to think on that. And while he was thinking, I was back to the witness. And so, you know, you just kind of weigh the options. So if you would go to Matthew 24, and I want to go through a bunch of characteristics. And I'm not going to read it straight up, but just kind of use your speed reading skills. Where you just kind of take your finger and come down with it. There are multiple prophecies the Bible records about the latter times of the church and or the last days. The last days would be the tribulation into the millennium. Okay, where they're talked about as a prophecy, but then in our lifetime, these things are being manifested. And it's not just an addition, it is a multiplication, exponential. Okay, in Matthew 24, you'll see in verse 1 and 2, Jesus talks about the destruction of the Jewish temple. This is a temple in Jerusalem that was built, okay, and it was going to be destroyed. We have an advantage of history now, hindsight, where it was destroyed in 70 AD. So in verse 3, they're asking the question, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, this is the mountain east of Israel, of the city of Jerusalem, and you just walk down to the valley and come back up. It's about a 10-minute walk. And the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? When shall the verse 1 be? Okay, that answer was 70 AD. But then they added to the question, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? And of the end of the world. So you got three questions, a compound question, and the answers are 70 AD, around 2000 something AD, and then around 3000 something AD. Because they didn't have the advantage of hindsight, so we're looking at about a 2000 year gap on this. So that's the answer. And so now the answer, when you read down through it, the reason why the answer is basically the same for all three events is because that man doesn't learn from history, therefore they're destined to repeat it. Now before each of the events, the main characteristic is in verse 4 and 5. And he says, be not deceived. Okay, why? Many shall come in my name saying I am Christ and shall deceive many. That's a counterfeit. The way you deceive people is you put up a counterfeit at the same time of the truth. They're side by side. That's how you confuse people. This has happened in America. This has happened in the church. This has happened in Christianity. Christianity is the most counterfeited religion in the world. Biblical Christianity, most counterfeited. Sheep in wolves' clothing, counterfeit. Okay, and so I could just park on there and go with that. Okay, now the way you did, it is easier to deceive people today than it is to convince them they've been deceived. Okay, how do they do this? In Daniel 12:4, it gives a prophecy sealed, and it says, men shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. In our lifetime, thanks to Al Gore, we have the internet. Okay? Now, notice it doesn't say wisdom shall increase. Knowledge. Transportation and communication in our lifetime is just phenomenal. Okay? Where communication through the submarine communication cables, not through the satellites, it's through them cables. Okay, I was helping Brett on Friday set up a bank account. They're in Belgium. I'm in Rensselaer. We still have the cups with the strings through them. And so I'm there, and this communication is going back and forth that fast, okay, to set up a bank account for Gabby. Amazing. Can whip up the phone and see him. It's amazing. Okay, the rise of deception through the media and technology. As you keep reading down, you'll see in verse 6, wars. You'll hear of wars. You hear of them. Rumors of them. That's the deception. He says, be not troubled. Then you hear of famines, verse 7, pestilences. Oh, pestilences, the plandemic. The plandemic, this was planned years in advance. Rockefeller wrote about it in 2010, but we didn't see that. We now have hindsight. And are they going to try it again? Well, they usually got to wait a generation. Bill Gates' grandfather was the chief scientist of the Spanish flu in 1918 and 1920, where Americans walked around with masks. His grandfather was a part of that. He can't keep viruses off his computers, let alone in life. I mean, what a thing. Okay, and then now the documentary, Sudden Death. Okay, what did the NFL do with that guy, you know, passing out on a football field? They most certainly didn't even consider the vaccine. I mean, that was out of the picture. Don't talk about that. No, it wasn't a blood clot or anything, cardiac arrest. No, it wasn't that. No, we won't even, that won't even be in the narrative. He got hit in the chest. You know, I mean, why? And sudden death, morticians will tell you what's happening in that world about the blood clotting. And we're going to see a bunch more this year. It's been going on in Europe quite extensively. Soccer players keeling over in a game. Healthy people keeling over. And the deception is, oh no, it's no. It couldn't have been that. Okay, the deception that NASA does continually. Put up a green screen. Put a guy in front of the green screen, and they can, with that green screen, they can have him out in Alaska, they can have him in South America, they can have him on Mars, they can have him on the moon. I mean, they can have him. The practicing for Mars is probably up there in Greenland. At least that's where they have the equipment for the Curiosity. It's up there. Deception is so easy today. I saw early in the actor in chief's administration, where they were having an event in the Rose Garden, and there's a gentleman in Washington D.C. in his apartment looking down at the Rose Garden, and he had on a TV CNN live coverage in the Rose Garden, and he's looking down in the Rose Garden, he's looking at the TV. Nobody's in the Rose Garden. They were down in Georgia, where they have a rose garden down in Georgia. I mean, this, you know, you may not know what's right, but there are some weird stuff going on today. I always kind of wondered about Nebuchadnezzar, how he could lose his mind for 7 years and still be king. I understand that now. I really understand that. I mean, yeah. Deception is so easy. You know, you and I could be sitting here, and with digital and media and technology, they could have you and I over in California at a mass shooting. And these things are rather weird. Okay, now if you keep reading down here in Matthew 24, scrolling down in there, you'll see in verse 9, they have religious persecution, and many will be offended. Many will be offended, shall betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets, so religiously, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Cold-hearted. Now, does that kind of ring a bell within the church setting? Revelation 3, Laodicea, hot and cold. Hot and cold. Okay, and the thing is the wealth that Christianity is bragging about, these mega ministries, are infested with wickedness. The wealth and wickedness. Jesus said, you're miserable, you're wretched, you're poor, you're naked. But yet they say, we're rich. Look at our great vast ministry we have. It's phenomenal. Apostasy has infested the Christian colleges. You want to see a description of the church in the latter days? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Narcissism has infected pastors and religious tyrants. In the Catholic world, it's pretty understandable where they're trying to alter the altar boys, and that's over 50%. But in a Protestant world, in a fundamentalist world, the narcissism is phenomenal. I served, I could say I had five mentors at least coming through school. Three were in the school at the time. All three became pastors, and all five of them were narcissists. Once I understood what narcissism was, introduced to that whole world. 2 Timothy 3, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, men shall be lovers of them own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unthankful. Watch how the world tries to cover up Thanksgiving. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Put anybody with good morals and good character on The View. And those five cackling whatever, and Whoopi Goldberg, that's a Jewish person? Probably a boy. Who knows? I mean, it's just weird. Traitors, put that on Congress and the Senate. Yeah, put that on them. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, the toilet bowl's coming up. I mean, the Super Bowl's coming up. The halftime show will be a massive worship of Satan. They use sport to do this. In 2012, I think it was the Olympics in 2012, I forget where it was, where their show was people in hospital attire pushing beds around wearing masks. What was that about? Dancing and all that stuff. That was what they did in during the pandemic. I mean, then he says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, his advice is from such turn away. That's what he says. I mean, the falling away of the church is just phenomenal. Okay, back in Matthew 24, if we just kind of keep skim reading down, or if you're on the phone, scrolling down. Okay, you get down to verse 13. It says, this is a famous Pentecostal verse. He that endures to the end shall be saved. But they overlook gospel of the kingdom, verse 14. And they overlook Daniel the prophet, verse 15. So that hint, that clue there takes us back to Daniel. And the idea is the abomination of desolation. That's not Titus offering a pig in a sacrifice in 69 AD. That is a human sacrifice approved and accepted. And probably Abrina Abramovich, Maria Abramovich will be having spirit cooking at this event or something like that. Who knows? I mean, that's evil. If you would go back to Daniel 9:24, we'll lay out this thing about Daniel and the 70 weeks. Since Matthew, or the Lord brought it up, recorded in Matthew. And the Daniel 70 weeks, if you can kind of come down, we're not going to go in detail. You'll notice in verse 24, 70 weeks. Now, we have an advantage of hindsight. These would be 70 sets of 7 weeks or 7 years, so that's 490 years. And notice it's are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city. So this is all about Israel and Jerusalem. Nothing to do with the church. The church has to be gone. Got to be out of here. And then it has 7 characteristics in verse 24, which clearly have not been met. Now, Gabriel is the one explaining this to Daniel, and he's going to divide the 70 weeks into 3 parts, because in homiletics class in heaven, they had 3-part sermons. And so he divided it into 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and then 1 hanging. It's like a hanging week. And so the 7 and 62 were completed, when you read 26, were completed right before the Messiah was cut off. Crucifixion. So 483 years of the 490 were complete on Palm Sunday. That's when it was complete, right there, Palm Sunday. Monday, I believe, was day 1 of the 70th week. And then Tuesday, day 2, and so forth, so on, until sometime in Acts, God picked up the sand clock and set it on the side. More than 3.5, less than 7, probably more than 6. The way it looks to me on that. But the idea I want to get across is that this is about Israel. But what about counterfeit Israel? Because you have a counterfeit with everything. Satan said, I will be like the Most High. And this is where our anti-Semites fail to realize that there's a true Israel and a counterfeit. Side by side. The true would be the Jewish remnant that's going to inherit the Abrahamic promises. The counterfeit would be, you could run several ways. You can run with the Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism. That's one branch. You could run with the Ashkenazis or the Khazars. Okay, those would be fake Jews. Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 both warn about there are some say they are Jews and are not. The fake Jews are the ones running the media and the banking industry. Zelensky would be a fake Jew. He's a real pervert, that guy. Okay? He's a fake Jew, and I've seen him in front of green screens trying to portray something that's not being told truthfully. The Rothschilds, the Bilderberg, that'd be fake Jews. They would be persecuting the true Jew, the true Israel. And so that's a matter of putting them together. So they're putting side by side in these things. And what's significant about that is if you drop down to Matthew, well, I'm going to hold on that. Go back to Matthew 24, and we'll run it chronologically. In Matthew 24, so we're talking about there's a true Israel, and I'm not talking about the white Anglo-Saxon race. True descendants from Abraham. Okay, that'd be the 144,000 that's recorded in Revelation. And then there's a fake Israel. Now back in Matthew 24, when you keep scrolling down, in verse 21, he mentions great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. So it's got to be pretty bad. The first time the word tribulation is found in the Bible is in Deuteronomy 4, verse 30, and it's directed towards Israel in the latter times, it says. Okay, but what is this time such as known to man? What's interesting is often the devil is required to broadcast his intentions. That's a rule that God sort of has on him. They had the devil or the United Nations company had Agenda 2021. And what the devil will do, he'll have these intentions, but then the Lord says, I'm in charge here. We're going to blow by 2021. We're going to blow by that, and we're going to might let you have 2030. So if you read the United Nations, they have an agenda called 2030, where their goal is to have an complete owning everyone and everything, moving everybody off of your private property to an urban setting, and you can have the luxury of walking from place to place because you're going to pull the cars off the streets too. You know, a sustainable development while they're flying around in their big jets and everything. This is not hidden. It's right out in front of us. Agenda 2030, massive increase of taxes, massive decrease of population. Now, the Georgia Guidestones down in Georgia, this past year, somebody took them down in a unique way. But at least the idea still was there on the Georgia Guidestones, America's Stonehenge. They had 8 languages where they had 10 different commandments they were trying to follow. Commandment number 1 was get world population down to 500,000. All right, 500 million, I'm sorry, 500 million. So if we got 7.5 billion, that means they want to get rid of 7 billion. Now, I remember watching a video clip with Bill Gates where he was worried about world population. He thought one way we could help decrease world population. And right after he said that, our concern with world population, the way we're going to deal with that, one way is vaccinations. I thought the vaccination was supposed to help increase your life. But when he says that right after concern for world population, that would make me think that's to decrease the population. But, you know, they let the cat out of the bag, you know, that cat, you know, for the cool cat, the, you know, the feline fanatics in the Vatican. I mean, and so all this is this is their making. This is what they have broadcast. Now we go back to Matthew 24, and let's go back and deal with that Israel thing that I mentioned. Matthew 24, verse 32, Jesus said, okay, you have immediately after the tribulation, verse 29. So we're following a chronology here. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putting forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. He's given us a clue here. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. What generation? There's a lot of talk about that. Verse 32, a fig tree. Now this idea, now Israel is a vine tree, according to Isaiah 5. It's a vineyard. Now if we take this clear back to Adam, did Adam partake, did Eve eat of a grape from a vine tree? And then after she did that, what did they put on their bodies? Figs. So the fig is a self-righteousness, is a cover-up, is a counterfeit of the vine tree. So if the fig tree is a counterfeit Israel, established in 1948, then if we take that, if you would go back to Psalm 90, because the Israeli flag is two pyramids. That is not the Star of David. That's the star of Rimfan or Molech. Often this is what happens where you have, in America, you have the Christianity as the basis, but the elite were trying to get the next Atlantis in America at the same time. So we have a counterfeit in America running all through our history, the true with the fake. So would this not happen with Israel, where you have true Israel, the lineage from Abraham, and a fake Israel beside it? And the fake Israel would overrule the normal Israel, but yet God gets the last laugh where the Jewish remnant gets the things. Now, in Psalm 90, this is the only psalm written by Moses. Moses, the very first leader of Israel. And when you come down Psalm 90, you'll see 1,000 years is mentioned in verse 4. And he talks about a watch in the night. Verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. You'll find that in Revelation 12. They are as a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourisheth. There's a prophecy of the millennium. In the evening, it is cut down and withered. There's the tribulation. For we, the leaders, Moses, we, Israel, are consumed by thine anger. The wrath of God, Revelation chapter 6. Israel is consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Jacob's trouble. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, their hidden secret, the secret societies, in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. This is not a good thing. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Post-tribulation rapture. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Okay, so 1948, at the 70-year mark, President Trump recognized Jerusalem to be the capital. If it reaches to 80, we're talking about 2028. The global 2030 is kind of running in line. And so you got to subtract about 6 years or so. And we're talking, you know, back around 2023, 2024, as far as these time coming through here. This is a possibility. Okay, and so these things in my mind are lining up. And then last September, the Temple Institute revealed 5 perfect, unblemished red heifers. delivered to Israel from a Christian rancher in America. Go figure. Why do they need those red heifers? Numbers 19, in order to get forgiveness from slaying innocent blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. The idea is that Israel is preparing, the New World Order is preparing, the church is in a mess, that's obvious, and then everywhere you go, if you can recognize the hidden secret, 666 is evident everywhere. You'll see it in corporation logos. You'll see a lot of things in logos that are given homage to Lucifer. They have to do this because that's who gives them the merchandise and the wealth. You see it everywhere. Now they have it, truth is often hidden in plain sight. In our library, I left on the shelf the New Jerusalem Bible. It's a Catholic Bible. If you go to the copyright page, published at 666 Fifth Avenue, New York, New York. What a place to publish a Bible. The New King Jimmy, the Thomas Nelson publishers, had on the title, on the front cover, but then they shifted it to the title page, an esoteric 666. But then they will say, that's a symbol of the Godhead. But a spirit would say, that's an esoteric 666. Who would do that? Wouldn't the devil get a jolly out of that? And when you read all this in Matthew, then you read Jesus summarize it up. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. In Luke, he said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. Hence, what steps in? Fallen angels taking on flesh, the evil spirits of the entire transgender movement. You get these people infested with fornication, again, like Jude 7, and when they are infested with this, they cannot cease from sin. And that's where it's at. The exponential growth of this is just mind-blowing, unless we believe the book. So I'm here to say, you know, I just dare say, I do believe whoever's going to blow that trumpet's got his lips already ready. And we're just waiting for the shout. Last prayer in this book, even so come, Lord Jesus. We're looking for the blessed hope. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be people that know the signs of the times and we are alert to these things. And Lord, just the idea of keeping your coming in mind will help us to live holier lives, to occupy till you come. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be thrilled and excited about looking forward to your appearing. Yeah, we're going to get a benefit of a disappearing, but Lord, we want to see you receive the glory that you are worthy of. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.